Good evening. It's good to see all of you out tonight. We are maybe a little lighter than normal, but that's okay. You are here, and we're glad that you're here. And we hope that there will be something that you'll be able to get from being with us in services this evening. We are talking, if you were reading along, we're talking about learning to stand. And even Braden, he came and asked me, that's 2 Chronicles 24, right? I said, yes, verses 1 and 2. And he said, well, what does that have to do with learning to stand? I'll get there. So it may not match up right now, but hopefully it will by the time we're done. Appreciate Jim, even at last minute, being able to lead some of those standing songs, because it will very much go hand in hand with what we're talking about. If you were following along, you may have read about Joash. We talk a lot about Joash because Joash became king when he was 7 years old. Now, just to put that in a little bit of perspective, imagine that we anointed Luke king over all of us. Now, he would probably like that. But we would all probably say, you know what, there might be somebody a little bit maybe more mature or wiser, more experienced, whatever you might say, that might be able to do that job a little bit more effectively. Well, part of the reason we talk about Joash is because he became king at 7 years old. He also did a lot in repairing the temple and restoring Israel back to at least a semblance of what they were supposed to be. He also had to be protected from his grandmother, who in 2 Chronicles chapter 22, and in verse 10 it says, now when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she rose up and destroyed all the royal offspring of the house of Judah. Imagine a grandmother that goes on a killing spree so that she could have access to the throne. And we see that Jehoiada sweeps Joash away so that he could later become king. But I want you to notice something about the scripture reading. If you're following along, verse 2 of 2 Chronicles chapter 24 says, Joash did what was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada. Hold on. Time out. Joash did what was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada, the priest. What does Jehoiada, the priest, have to do with the faithfulness of Joash? One should not be a prerequisite of the other. Jehoiada was the high priest of Israel at the time, and he certainly was a good one. In fact, if you read a little bit further in the context, it says they buried him with the kings of Israel because he was so great. So here's a man that is very good as far as his influence is concerned over not just Joash, but over all of Israel. He was a very positive influence on the king. However, once Jehoiada was gone, the influence that he had also left Joash. And here's where we get to the topic of the lesson tonight. Joash, once Jehoiada was gone, Joash now must stand on his own. Now, all the while that Jehoiada was alive, he had Jehoiada to lean on to say, what's the right thing to do? What should I do? Jehoiada seems like a man who was very assertive in saying, look, this is what you should do. This would be the wise play. This would be the thing. And again, all the while, Jehoiada knowing that it's going to be Joash's decision. But he leads him in the right way. And Joash makes the right decisions. But we find when Joash stands on his own, he is going to fail and fail miserably. I want us to notice tonight that our Christianity is personal. That we need to take a stand at times. Not just because someone else beside us or someone else ahead of us is taking a stand, but we need to take a stand for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want to just look at the account of Joash and Jehoiada and find what we can learn from that tonight. What I want us to note first is that yes, influence is great, but you still need to stand on your own two feet. In Proverbs, the 27th Proverb, Proverbs 27 in verse 17, it says, "Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." We know that we can have a great influence on one another when we're working together, when we're doing the right thing. And I will say 100%, it is easier to do what I'm supposed to do when I'm around you all. When I'm around all of you, it is so much easier for me to do what I'm supposed to do. When it becomes more difficult is when you all are not around. And now I have to make that decision amongst a lot of people that maybe don't think the same way that I think. And so yes, iron sharpens iron. We can do a lot with one another and the influence that we have. And if you look at 2 Chronicles 24, we begin to see some of that. Joash was 7 years old when he became king, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Zibiah from Beersheba. Joash did what was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. Jehoiada took two wives for himself, and he became the father of sons and daughters. Now it came about after this that Joash decided to restore the house of the Lord. This is great. He gathered the priests and the Levites and said to them, "Go out to the cities of Judah, collect money from all Israel to repair the house of your God annually, and you shall do the matter quickly." But the Levites did not act quickly. So the king summoned Jehoiada, the chief priest, and said to him, "Why have you not required the Levites to bring in from Judah and from Jerusalem the levy fixed by Moses, the servant of the Lord, on the congregation of Israel for the tent of the testimony? For the sons of the wicked Athaliah had broken into the house of God and even used the holy things of the house of the Lord for the Baals." So the king commanded, and they made a chest and set it outside the gate of the house of the Lord. They made a proclamation in Judah and Jerusalem to bring to the Lord the levy fixed by Moses, the servant of God, on Israel in the wilderness. All the officers and all the people rejoiced and brought their levies and dropped them to the chest until they had finished. And it came about whenever the chest was brought in the king's officer by the Levites, and when they saw that there was much money, then the king's scribe and the chief priest's officer would come, empty the chest, take it, and return it to its place. They did this daily and collected much money. The king and Jehoiada gave it to those who did the work of the service of the house of the Lord, and they hired masons and carpenters to restore the house of the Lord, and also workers in iron and bronze to repair the house of the Lord. So the workmen labored and repaired. The work progressed in their hands, and they restored the house of God according to its specifications, and it strengthened it. When they had finished, they brought the rest of the money before the king and Jehoiada, and it was made into utensils for the house of the Lord, utensils for the service and the burnt offering, and pans of utensils in gold and silver. And they offered burnt offerings in the house of the Lord continually all the days of Jehoiada. All good things, right, at the hand of Joash, the king. But it's always all the days of Jehoiada. Now, let's move on into verse 15. "Now when Jehoiada reached a ripe old age, he was 130 years old at his death." Now, we may look at that and say, well, in biblical times, that's not all that old, right? You know, we got, especially, you know, look at Adam and 930 years old, and Methuselah 969 years old. So people lived a long time, but at this point in time in their history, this is old. Because the ages that they lived at this point in time were much closer to what we are living. And this man lived 130 years. And what an influence he must have been. He was 130 years old at his death. They buried him in the city of David among the kings because he had done well in Israel and to God and his house. But after the death of Jehoiada, the officials of Judah came and bowed down to the king, and the king listened to them. The influence of Jehoiada is gone, and Joash forgets everything at this moment that these kings come, or these people come and bow down, the leaders come and bow down to him. And say, this is what we want to happen. This is now what we want to do. They know that Jehoiada is dead, and so they go straight to the king and say, this is now what we want, and he listens to them. We certainly need to seek good influences. 1 Corinthians 15:33, we read it all the time, do not be deceived, bad company corrupts good morals. We get that. But what do we do when those good influences are not looking? And we might think of children who go off to college and maybe acted one way when they were around their parents, but when they go off to school, now nobody's looking anymore. Now maybe I can get away with a few things. How far do I want to take this? And that influence is gone. I want you to remember also, in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I want to say here that mankind will disappoint you. There have been times throughout my life where I've put way too much trust in mankind or some man or some person, that I think this person is a stalwart in the kingdom, and inevitably that person disappoints me. Now, does that mean that they're sinful people that are going to hell? No, it means that they're human. Because if somebody has looked at me in that way, I'm sure there are times when they say, I'm so disappointed. But we can't let, even if Jehoiada were to be a good influence and then all of a sudden he makes a bad decision, Joash can't say, well, all is lost. My good influence is now gone, and so now I'm just going to fall away from the Lord, which is what happens a lot of times. Somebody has one good influence in their life, and when that person leaves, either leaves the truth or dies or moves, then so many people fall away because their faith was not tied to themselves and to Christ and to God, but to that person. Influence is wonderful, but we cannot tie our hope on those good influences. We need to tie our hope in Christ. We also learn within this context that without some sort of spiritual commitment on our part, we will fall to bad influences as well as good. In 2 Chronicles chapter 24, notice verses 18 and 19 as we continue reading through that chapter. Now remember that we've just talked about all of the leaders coming to King Joash and bowing down before him, and it says that Joash listened to them, and it says they abandoned the house of the Lord. All the temple repairs and things that we just read about, he said they completely abandoned it. The house of the Lord, the God of their fathers, they served the Asherim and the idols. So wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for their guilt. Yet he sent prophets to them to bring them back to the Lord. Though they testified against them, they would not listen. A man by the name of Chris Reeves said this, some people are just one death away from apostasy. We can't be that tied to one person. We have to have some sort of spiritual commitment that is our own, within ourselves. Because if we don't, we are going to fall prey to bad influences as well as good. And I have seen many people fall prey to those bad influences. The problem that comes from this is that they themselves then will become a bad influence on others. There's only so many times that we can say, I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. That may be true once. We might be able to stretch that out and say, that might be true twice. But if it's 3, 4, 5 times, you're a bad influence. That's just what it is. You can't do the same thing over and over and over again and claim, wrong place, wrong time. Or I wasn't doing what they were doing. I was just there to watch or to support or whatever. That was all on them. No, we can't do that anymore. At that point, we have become a bad influence ourselves. And certainly we like to talk about other people's influence, right? Other people's, somebody's a good influence on me, or this person is a bad influence on me. But we don't often talk about what is my influence toward other people. And if we continually fall prey to these bad influences, we will become a bad influence ourselves. There's an expression that tells us that we need to strive to be a thermostat and not a thermometer. You understand the difference there? Right? The thermostat is how you control how hot or how cold it is in a particular place. A thermometer is just a test. You can tell someone what the temperature is, but you can't control it. As Christians, we need to be able to control the temperature. We need to be able to control what's around us. When there are bad influences, we need to make sure that we are a good influence and that we don't fall prey to just saying, well, I don't want to say anything. I'll just sit here and I'll be quiet and become part of the temperature. That's not what God wants us to do. That's not what God wanted Joash to do. I believe that the first Psalm, does a wonderful job of explaining the difference to us. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. This is the person that does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, that does not stand in the path of sinners, and does not sit in the seat of scoffers. He does not put himself around bad influences. This person is going to be successful in whatever he does. He's going to prosper. But, he says, the wicked are not so, but they are like chaff, which the wind drives. The sinners in the assembly of the Lord, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor the sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. He says the wicked are like chaff which the wind drives away. See, they're not even necessarily in control either. We're just allowing ourselves to be blown back and forth here, there, wherever the wind takes us, right? You hear that expression. I'm going to go wherever the wind takes me. God says, that's wicked. Don't do that. Don't just go with the flow. Be the person that refuses to walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the path of sinners, or sit in the seat of the scoffers. The last thing that I want to talk to you about tonight is that there are negative consequences to not standing on our own 2 feet. Notice again in 2 Chronicles chapter 24, starting in verse 20. Then the Spirit of God came on Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada the priest. And he stood above the people and said to them, thus God has said, why do you transgress the commandments of the Lord and do not prosper? Now think about this for a moment. Here's a man also, as well as Joash, here is a man also that lived with the influence of Jehoiada, who did not, like Jehoiada, say, you know what, I'm just going to lay down to the will of the people. No, when he sees Joash going astray, he stands up and he says, wait a minute. This is not the way that my father directed you. This is not the way that God has directed us. Why do you transgress the commandments of the Lord and do not prosper? God wants you to prosper. So why are you fighting on Him on this? He says, because you have forsaken the Lord, He has also forsaken you. What happens to Him? So they conspired against Him. And at the command of the king, who's the king? Joash. They stoned Him to death in the court of the house of the Lord. Thus Joash the king did not remember the kindness which his father Jehoiada had shown him, but he murdered his son. And as he died, he said, may the Lord see and avenge. Not the lay not this sin to their charge that we hear from Stephen or the Lord when He was being crucified. God, see this and avenge this. And I don't know so much as it was for He Himself as much as it was for His father Jehoiada, who had set the precedent that this man wanted this avenged. Continue reading, starting in verse 23. Now it happened at the turn of the year that the army of the Arameans came up against him. And they came to Judah and Jerusalem, destroyed all the officials of the people from among them, and sent their spoil to the king of Damascus. Indeed, the army of the Arameans came with a small number of men, yet the Lord delivered a very great army into their hands because they had forsaken the Lord, the God of their fathers. Thus they executed judgment on Joash. When they had departed from him, for they left him very sick, his own servants conspired against him because of the blood of the son of Jehoiada the priest, and murdered him on his bed. So he died, and they buried him in the city of David. Notice, but they did not bury him in the tomb of the kings, where Jehoiada is, the high priest. Now these are those who conspired against him: Zabab, the son of Shemath, the Ammonitess, and Jehozabad, the son of Shimrith, the Moabitess. As to his sons and the many oracles against him and the rebuilding of the house of the God, behold, they are written in the treaties of the book of the kings. Then Amaziah, his son, became king in his place. Now, our consequences may not always come in this way. We may not, you know, get retaliated in this physical of a way. But understand that it will come. In Galatians chapter 5, the first four verses, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery. Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit to you. And I testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he is under obligation to keep the whole law. You have been severed from Christ. You who are seeking to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. Do you think that these people saw their consequence right away? Probably not. They probably assumed as they were being circumcised, as is the pattern of the old covenant, that they were falling right in line to God. But what Paul is telling them is, you don't see that you've severed yourself from Christ. You've now reattached yourself. Now, was it wrong for them to be circumcised? No. Paul addresses that over and over and over again. We read about it in Acts chapter 15. They took care of that. They said, whether you want to be circumcised or not, that is entirely up to you. The problem that these people were having was that they were attaching it to their Christianity. You have to be circumcised to be a Christian. And that's where Paul says, hold on, time out. You've now severed yourself from Christ, attached yourself to the law again. Now you're obligated to keep the whole law, which, sorry, game's over. You're already sinful men. You've lost your sacrifice for sin. They didn't see that right away. I wonder how often we have severed ourselves, separated ourselves from Christ, and don't even know. There are always consequences for not standing on our own, for going the way of whatever is driving the wind at that moment. I want you to notice the purpose for all of this. If there is a consequence for us, I want you to notice what the purpose of that consequence is. So after Jehoiada dies and Joash kind of goes the way of the leading people, notice what it says in 2 Chronicles chapter 24 and verse 19. Yet, even though God has basically destroyed them, not allowing them to benefit, it says, yet he sent prophets to them to bring them back to the Lord. Though they testified against them, they would not listen. Even though they weren't listening, God was sending people to bring them back. God wants you back. Or maybe you're not coming back. Maybe you haven't came to Him in the first place. God wants you to come to Him. You know, I think we can learn a lot from King Joash. Joash seemed to be that chaff in the wind, right? Just being blown from one place to the other. There was a good influence and he did what was right. And then when that good influence was gone, he did not stand firm. He just followed the next influence that came along. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14, we read that. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming. We are not to be children who are tossed back and forth. We're not to be a Joash. Influence, yes, is great. And we need to seek out good influence. But we still need to be able to stand firm on our own two feet, our own two spiritual feet, meaning on the rock that is Christ. Not just in ourselves or of ourselves, but we need to be able to stand firm in Christ. We learn that without our own commitment to God, we can certainly fall prey to bad influences as much as we can be influenced by good. And that there are going to be negative consequences to not standing firm on God's Word. We don't want to suffer those consequences. If we're suffering those consequences here and now, it is God trying to bring you back. That's what we learn from Joash. God always wanted him back. If you're here tonight and you are a child of God who has fallen away, God is trying to bring you back. If you're here and you're not a child of God, God is trying to get you to come the first time. It is only in Him, it is only through Him that we can have salvation. If you're here tonight, we can baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you need, we are here to pray with you and to pray for you and hopefully get you headed in the right direction. If you're here and subject to God's invitation tonight, please come to the front seat while we stand and while we sing.